We thank you. I bet if you were listening carefully, you heard an Arabic word that you know. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Yeah, that's the word that's come from Hebrew into English and Chinese and Arabic. And I bet it's the first word we recognize in heaven. And then we realize that we're understanding it all, finally, with each other in praise to God. What a day that'll be. Thank you so much for lifting our hearts. You're our guests. I want you to know that we're making our way through the story of Abraham and Sarah this summer. And like the rest of the Bible, it's not exactly fun and games. And this is a story that deals with life and death and mystery and desperate kinds of human needs. Not the stuff of trivial consideration. Some of the Sundays have felt pretty heavy thinking about these things. But if we've been paying attention, those of us who've been here already, we've heard some sounds of laughter in this story. It's told in a way that is designed to make people laugh. And in particular today, laughter comes right into the story, which becomes central to us understanding what God is doing in our lives. I'll be reading today in Genesis 18 and then in chapter 21. And let's pray together before we read God's Word. Lord God, we thank you for your Word and for the power of the Spirit that can take an ancient word and apply it directly to our lives this day. We're eager to see how you would do that. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 18, beginning at verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where's your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." And then some months later, chapter 21, here's what has happened. Beginning at verse 1, the Lord dealt with Sarah as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I am betting that I can make you smile. What is it about baby chortles? I don't think there's a happier sound in all the world. And all babies do it. Have you ever heard parents instruct their babies how to laugh? Doesn't happen. They just laugh. It's part of what it means to be human. It's part of what it means to be made in the image of God. And that facet of being made in His image comes into expression at the youngest sort of age. It's an amazing kind of thing. We're made in the image of God. Consider this. The one in whose image we are made, as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, have lived in love forever. And that love never goes very long in relationships without laughter. And so from all eternity, where God is has sounded with laughter. And if that's not enough to persuade you, then think about what this mirthful Creator made. Elephants? Stop and think about that. A platypus? A porcupine? And have you looked in the mirror lately yourself? Our Creator has this kind of overflowing mirth that found expression in His creation and in us. And if you doubt that, then just open the Bible. Just about every page of the Scripture has some sort of humor. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's wry. Sometimes it's outrageous. But you won't find your way very far down the page without hearing the echo of that divine laughter that's sounded in heaven forever. And so it's no huge surprise that even at the youngest age, chortles and giggles would begin to emerge from these little people made in the image of God. But you also know that soon enough, those baby chortles begin to change. It takes a while, but just like everything else in our lives, laughter soon bears the blemishes of a sinful world. And little ones who are exposed to the brokenness of this world find their laughter changed from the simple, unadorned delight and chortle of a baby to a laughter that sometimes sounds with scorn or sarcasm or even mockery. If you want to hear the echoes of heaven's laughter, listen to a child. For adults, well, it's more complicated. Because sometimes our laughter echoes with sounds that sound more like hell than heaven. And the Lord's intent is to redeem the joy of our hearts so that the laughter begins to sound like it does in the heavenlies. Now, we just read one of the funniest stories in the Bible. I mean, you knew it already, most of you did, so we lose a little bit of the edge of this. But think about this. One day, the Lord and a couple of His angel buddies show up unannounced at Abraham and Sarah's place for lunch. Whoa. Now, that's comedy. And it's hard for us to imagine, but imagine your house back in 2007 when Queen Elizabeth was visiting here in Virginia and she and her entourage pull up to your house at noon for lunch, unannounced. What would you do? Mercy. Scramble around, look in the fridge, look in the cupboard. I mean, it's just funny to imagine. That's the picture we've got in Genesis 18. Abraham is aware to some degree, he becomes more aware as the encounter goes on, that this is the Lord. These are heavenly beings of some sort. And so he puts his Middle Eastern hospitality into overdrive. This isn't just any guest. This is the Lord. And he tries to prepare this feast just pronto. And he drafts his wife Sarah into the process. So picture the look on Sarah's face when suddenly he pulls her into this emergency hospitality project and co-opts her to bake cakes, 3 measures of flour, some big batch of baking to be done as he does his thing preparing the meat. And let me ask you guys here, have any of you ever brought company home unannounced to your wife for lunch or dinner? Anybody besides me done that? If so, then you can imagine the look on Sarah's face. This was not necessarily a laughing matter with her. And Sarah, having endured the anxiety of preparing a feast, then came to the place of laughter herself. Of course, it came in a way that she wasn't ready for, as was the custom of the day, even though she baked the cakes, she did not get to join the guys for the meal. The guys had the meal, the women were outside somewhere, and she was hanging about the edge of the tent because she wanted to know what was being said. And she was eavesdropping on the Lord. Now that's funny in itself. You're going to eavesdrop on the Lord God Almighty? And then when she heard what he said, she laughed without thinking about it. He said she'd have a child. She had first heard that promise 24 years before, and it was funny then. And that laughter of disbelief 24 years before had gone to seed by now, and it was more a laughter of disdain, a laughter of doubt, a laughter even of scorn. She's 90 years old, for crying out loud. And it wasn't just Sarah. Last week, as we read in chapter 17, we found Abraham laughing with the same laughter at this promise that was just too good to be true. He heard the Lord speak it, but he couldn't help himself. He fell on his face laughing. You'll hear this same laughter in the Gospels. Do you remember when Jairus came and fetched Jesus? His little girl was sick. He wanted Jesus to come and heal her, and in the meantime, she had died. And so when Jesus arrived, the neighbors who were gathered at the house, knowing that the little girl was dead, the Gospels tell us that they laughed at him. They mocked him. They didn't understand. It was the same with the religious leaders. The bigwigs back in Jerusalem wrote off this backwoods preacher from Galilee. Who's he? With scornful laughter. And actually, it's a laughter common to the human family. That's because in a broken world, the little chortles that we started with as babies run apart against the hurt and the harm of our world over and over and over again. And we lose this simple capacity simply to rejoice and to let the joy spill over in laughter. And so our laughter becomes flavored instead with doubt or disdain or even sarcasm. And we even tend to laugh at the promises of the Lord when all along He was inviting us to laugh with Him. Every family has someone who's the last one to get the joke. We have 3 daughters. One of our 3 daughters, just as sure as the sun rose, was always about 2 minutes later than everybody else catching the joke. So we got to laugh twice. We would laugh first when the joke sounded, and then when she got it, that was funny too. I have to think this is the experience of the one who's known mirth within his own being since forever. And He's populated our planet with the likes of elephants and platypus and you and me. And He sees us not getting it. He sends a son who dies for the world and rises from the dead. And still our laughter is scornful or sarcastic. And we have the hardest time simply laughing with the joy of children. That's what he was about with Abraham and Sarah that day. He wanted them to get in on his mirth. And he did it with them as he does it with us. He just keeps showing up over and over and over again. Every time he's faithful, every time he's good, every time he showers us with grace, his design is to heal our hearts so that the hurt that has twisted our laughter is undone. And we can begin to live in the joy and spill over in the laughter that he would give to us. The only thing funnier than promising an old couple that they'll have a child is promising an old couple that they'll have a child and then waiting 24 years. Really? Wow. But finally, in chapter 21, Sarah began to get it. She was pregnant. And I'm willing to bet that during the 9 months of her pregnancy, as finally this one who had waited always to have her own child, as she saw her belly swell, her laughter changed. So that by the time that child was born, she sounded forth with a different kind of laughter. Here's what Genesis said. She said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." This woman who in her hurt had always laughed at the Lord, now in her joy was laughing with the Lord, which was with the Lord's design all along. And Abraham too. He named the son Isaac, which literally meant laughter. So he was in on the joke as well. And the Lord got to laugh with them as they began to taste his joy. Jesus came with the same plan, working the same pattern. His story is its own kind of side splitter. Look in Matthew 1. Read the family tree. Who's there? This is the Messiah, for crying out loud. And it's a bunch of crooks and ne'er-do-wells and women of ill repute. That's the Messiah's family tree. Now that's funny. And then comes his birth. The king of the universe was born to parents who were homeless at the time. His first greeters were shepherds who smelled like shepherds. And then some kind of crazy stargazers from somewhere off no one knew where. You can't make this stuff up. This is funny. He could have centered his ministry anywhere he chose. He could have gone to some happening place like Rome or Athens or Alexandria. But he goes to the center of Podunk, the northern part of Palestine, Galilee. Really? For the King of Kings? That's kind of funny. I mean, that's like someone deciding they're going to make a big splash in the United States, and instead of going to Washington or New York City, they park themselves out in eastern Kentucky somewhere. Then look at the bozos he picked for his disciples. I mean, that's its own funny story. Then think of his teachings. Look at these crazy pictures he came up with. He said getting a rich guy into heaven is kind of like getting a camel through the eye of a needle. A wry sense of humor. He said the kingdom of God is the most immense thing you can imagine, and yet it's like a mustard seed, this tiny little speck. He said this kind of dry humor going on all the time when he taught. And then after he rose from the dead, the ones he chose for the very first witnesses weren't even legal to testify in court. He chose women, for crying out loud. They had no hearing in that society. And they're the ones he chose to be the first witnesses to the most important event ever. I think that's funny. That's kind of laugh out loud humor. Straight from the Lord of Mirth himself. And that's the short list. The gospel is full of this kind of laughter. And because Jesus embodied such laughter, he shows us the kind of life of laughter he wants us to get in on. The kind he's had with the Father and the Spirit since before eternity. And even coming to this world couldn't squeeze it out of him. Some of you know the work of G.K. Chesterton. He had a wonderful way of speaking pithy, short sayings. Here's one thing he said. The test of a good religion is that you can joke about it. Now think about that in a day when Muslim hit squads chase after cartoonists. It has a new and different kind of meaning in our day. But the laughter about Jesus, and especially about those who follow Jesus, is very rich and is actually appropriate. It's okay. That's because the one who wants us finally to get it is okay with us laughing at him, even while he redeems us to be able to laugh with him. The laughter commences already in our mixture of doubt, but then gradually, he calls forth from us the simple laughter of joy. That's what Jesus did. It's what the Lord did with old Abraham and Sarah when he dropped by their house for lunch one day. It's what the Lord does when he picks the like of us to carry this most important news into the world. I mean, look at us. He picked us to carry the gospel to the world. You and me. That's a joke. St. Giles Church. That's hilarious on the face of it. El Tabia Church in Cairo, Egypt. In this little poor neighborhood. In this midst of this huge city. Group of people just like you and me. Called to bear the best of all possible good news. Now that's funny. But it's funny in the way that the Lord has laughed since forever. And it's funny in the very way that we are finally learning to laugh ourselves. The laughter of joy. The little bit of laughter we hear in the chortle of a child. As we grow in Jesus, we begin to get it. He redeems us. He heals our hearts. Our laughter has changed. And we begin to laugh more and more. I think that's especially important in this era in which we live. I can't tell you the number of conversations I've had in the last month or two as we've been besieged week after week after week with troubling news stories from in our nation and around the globe. And people keep saying things like, what's happening with our world? Our world is going crazy. It must be the second coming. We're anxious about these things. And thus the witness of those who know the joy of Jesus and who spill over with laughter, not sardonic, not sarcastic, just the simple laughter of delight and trust in the one who has always laughed and who will have the last laugh. And who intends that you and I get in on that last laugh with him. That will bring him glory, even as finally our joy comes to full flower. Now that's the story. That's the joke. Do you get it? Now let's pray. Lord Jesus, in everything, you're the one to whom we look, even in our laughter. Our ways of expressing joy, like so many parts of our lives, are broken. But you come and heal and restore and reshape. And we would ask that each of us and all of us together would be a people of your kind of joy. And that the laughter that sounds in our midst would be your kind of laughter. And that a world which has hungered so for that very sound will be drawn to you, Lord Jesus. We honor you, and we pray in your name, our Savior. Amen.